Have you ever thought what it would look like if you mixed The Simpsons with Game of Thrones, but added an extra dose of feminism?
Quick, after the dragon, and may the best man slay it.
Or woman, let's not ignore women here.
Then you'd have something resembling Disenchantment, a fantasy animated series created by Matt Groening. That's right, the guy whose brain is responsible for shows like The Simpsons and Futurama. Disenchantment is set in a medieval kingdom called Dreamland. Bean, the princess of the realm, is not your traditional royal daughter. Bean constantly rebels against her family, ruining her own wedding, trying her hand at execution, or getting drunk at the most inopportune times.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Honorable Ambassador Tia Beanie, Maria Beanie, De La Rochambeau, Drunkowitz.
If the voice of Princess Bean sounds familiar, then you're probably a fan of Broad City. Bean is voiced by none other than Abby Jacobson. And that's not the only familiar voice in the Disenchantment universe. Princess Bean is followed around by Lucy, a personal demon who's always trying to make her do bad things.
Do it! Do it, do it, do it!
That terrible influence is voiced by Eric Andre of The Eric Andre Show. He's done voices on Robot Chicken and played one of the hyenas in the 2019 version of The Lion King. And you'll hear plenty of Eric laughing throughout this interview. The main cast of Disenchantment is rounded out by Nat Faxon, who's done voices for Family Guy, Robot Chicken, and the epic tales of Captain Underpants, where he played, you guessed it, Captain Underpants. In Disenchantment, Nat voices an 18-year-old naive, candy-obsessed elf named Elfo from Elfwood.
I'm drowning!
I'm Elfo!
Together, they roam around the kingdom, causing mayhem along the way. If you like a show with fast-paced comedy, then you'll love this series.
Wow, my God, you guys, we should start a band! Yes, we sound amazing. We'll fix up an old carriage and tour the country, playing what we want to play. Never selling out. Never splitting up. Elfo, you're out of the band.
What the hell?
I'm your host, Brandon Jenkins, and this is Behind the Scenes Animation. And today, we're diving into Disenchantment. When you consider the chaotic friendship the three main characters have in the series, it should come as no surprise that in real life, these three actors have their own silly, mischievous chemistry. Don't believe me? Listen to this.
I can't handle Eric right now. For the listener, Eric has superimposed the woman from Tiger King on his face.
Carol Baskin.
We caught up with Abby, Nat, and Eric over video call. A note for listeners, Eric took his call outside, so you may hear some street noises or the occasional plane in this episode. Buckle up, because you're about to go on a wild, sometimes weird, sometimes confusing ride with the stars of Disenchantment.
Hello, my name is Nat Faxon, and I play the character of Elfo.
Hey, I'm Eric Andre, and I play Lucy.
Hey, my name is Abby Jacobson, and I play the role of Bean.
Queen, La Reina, Abby Jacobson.
Abby, how would you describe your character? Like, appearance and personality.
I mean, she's gorgeous.
Hell yeah.
She's a little insecure, kind of overcompensates a lot. She's definitely come more into her own with having these two as her best friends. I think what I love about her is she's like definitely finding herself through these adventures. And I feel like there's definitely a growth from the beginning of the show to now. And yeah, she's down a clown. She's a drinker.
And I promise to never have another drink.
You're drinking right now.
Where did that come from?
Okay, Nat, your turn.
I think Elfo is just happy to be part of the group. He wants to be listened to. He wants his opinions to be validated. But I think most of all, he's just in it for the friendship and in it for the loyalty and for the adventure. He lays in sort of subtle, slightly bitchy comments at times.
I'm kind of not always happy.
But we're singing.
Yeah, singing while you work's not happiness. It's mental illness.
And Eric, what about Lucy?
I'm going to change my background. I don't like the flat cinder blocks. There's no depth. I need some, like, plants.
This is a podcast, but it's just for us.
Oh, this is just audio? Is this just audio? I'm sorry.
I didn't want to say anything when I saw you, like, adjusting your hair. I was like, if he needs it, let's just let him go, you know?
Okay, well, good to know. So I'm Eric. I play Lucy, literally the devil on Bean's shoulder.
First up, not a ghost. Ghosts are losers that got murdered. I am a demon.
And Elfo's foil at times, but they're all dysfunctional best friends. Bit of a smart aleck.
Well, good night, everybody.
I'll be entering your dreams tonight in the form of a laughing skull.
Yeah, that's me. That's me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
Do you all feel like you relate to your characters, like, actually in real life? Or are they very different from who you are?
I relate. I'm a bit of a black devil, you could say.
Woo!
I do feel like the insecurity of it all is something that I really relate to. She's like a way younger version. She's not that much younger than me, but she's younger than me. but yeah, I relate to that. I relate to the like scramble and the hustle with your friends.
What a naughty night we had.
I drank so much, I can't even remember if I drank anything. I might not have.
You know it's a great night when we're still up to see the plague patrol.
Morning, princess.
So now, what's up with you and Elfo? Do you feel like you connect with him? Do you feel like you two relate?
Yeah, there are parts of Elfo that I connect with. I also love candy, so that's something that we really share in common.
Also the temper.
The temper, yes. Going like, you know, from 0 to like 120 in a second.
Yeah, that is full on psychotic.
Loco essay.
That's right. I like to be tickled to a certain amount, and then I get real mad, real pissed off, and patted on the bum bum all the time.
I think he looks cute, like the mayor of Babyville.
Why do you always have to compare me to a cute baby? I'm a cute man.
Oh, yes, you are.
That's enough. Stop. That's enough.
Yeah, there's a certain optimism, I think, in Elfo that I hopefully can identify with most of the time.
Nice. If you guys can think back to growing up, like, what animated shows were you really into? Like, what was the thing back when there was appointment television? You had to sit down and make sure you saw it.
Ren and Stimpy, Beavis and Butthead.
Yes.
For sure. And it's an honor to work with Billy West on Disenchantment, who voiced both Stimpy and Ren after John Kay left.
Oh, we can spout crazy theories all day, but science suggests a more logical explanation. That Bean is possessed by a demon.
Damn, I did not know that. That's sick.
Legend. He's a legend.
Beavis and Butthead was huge for me. The Simpsons, obviously.
Yep.
Also Daria.
Abby, I thought you'd leave with Daria, not the judge.
I love Daria, yeah.
I was like a huge Gem guy. Really loved Gem.
Same.
I was a Gem guy. I'm not afraid to admit it.
Gem tan laundry, am I right?
Okay, so thinking about shows like The Simpsons, right? Like Matt Groening's crown jewel. What's it like working with someone who's essentially cartoon royalty?
It's pretty incredible to work with Matt.
Yes, we're all shocked that we haven't been fired yet. That's how we feel going into work every day. I'm a Simpsons super fan, so Matt is like my Obi-Wan Kenobi, so it's totally surreal getting to work with him. He's the master. Like, Simpsons started when I was 5 years old, and now I'm 12. So I literally grew up watching it, and it shaped the way I think about comedy, so... He's a legend. Legendary.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of us were pretty flabbergasted at the fact that we got this gig and that they hired us and that we could get to work with him. It's still, I think, kind of surreal. It's really fun. It's very supportive and collaborative. And I think anytime you're, you know, you work with people that you've always admired and looked up to, it's always kind of a surreal experience, even when you're in it. So I would say that's still the case for us.
Yeah, like even now, I kind of catch myself whenever he's giving me a note or like if he laughs at me, like if I go off on something, it's just so surreal. It's like there's no one else that's as prolific as him. There's something that's so small that he always gives me notes on because I'm terrible at like sounds where we have to fall a lot. It's such a Simpsons thing to me, like the effort noises. It just snaps me back into like, oh my gosh, he's giving me like effort noise notes. I don't know.
Can we hear an effort noise right now?
Oh God, this is Abby's nightmare, isn't it? Do you hate giving efforts?
I don't hate it. No, I feel like I often don't get them right. It's like, ooh.
That's good.
He'll be like, no, do more like a, oh.
That's good. You're good. You're good at it. Don't beat yourself up about it. That's my effort. That's Lucy drowning. Casually. That's Lucy casually drowning.
That's good. There are hundreds of falls as a group. We are falling at least once in every episode together, right?
I just have to do a lot of screaming.
Same.
Let's hear it. I didn't expect it to be that far of a fall, but
there's farther. That was like, yeah, that was a quarter fall.
It's basically the Three Stooges disenchantment. Yeah. It's just like, bah, oh, bah, boing, 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 boing.
So you guys get the script, and then what happens? Do you immediately go to record? Is there table reads? Like, how does this happen from the moment you all see what your characters are supposed to do?
I don't know about you two, but like I get the script and then I have a really long call with the producers about the character choices. And then we usually have a lunch and then, I'm kidding. I think we all get it and we go into the booth and then we have an opportunity to like bring our thoughts to the recording. And if we're lucky before COVID, it would time up so we were able to record together. That can be rare sometimes.
Those days are behind us.
Is there a benefit to being in the same room as each other and getting a chance to riff?
Yes, it's way better to record together, I think, being able to feed off each other. And I think some of that, you know, the physicality of the characters probably is, I think, happens maybe whether you're with other people or whether you're not. I think it is a very sort of physical show. There's always a lot of like action that the characters are doing. So you can't help but kind of use some of that, like while you're recording, you know, if you're running or, doing anything physical, you're kind of sort of quasi performing it while you're recording.
So that kind of brings me to my next question. I'm wondering, is there a physicality to actually recording, right? Like it's not just talking to a microphone. You're actually like, you know, to create these efforts, to create this personality that we get to hear while we're watching these characters.
When people do voiceovers, they either sit or stand. I think we're all standers. Mm-hmm. We're all like in it, right? Yeah. I don't know. I feel like exhausted sometimes.
Yeah, John DiMaggio is the only one that's like a sitter that exerts that much energy.
Yeah.
And he's like a master. Tress sits,
yeah.
And just so listeners know, John DiMaggio plays King Zog, Bean's father, and Tress MacNeille voices Queen Una, Bean's stepmom.
They're also like legendary voice actors who probably don't need to like have the crutch of like what we do.
Your daughter feel useless because she is useless.
But she's hurting.
Her purpose is to be married off to unite kingdoms like we do.
We're like, yeah, like we're truly like going for it. They're like, yeah, we can do the same.
I can run. My character can run and I can still be sitting. Whereas like I'm like fully jogging in place when I'm doing it.
Totally. Totally.
Is there a specific scene where your characters interact in a way that's been really memorable?
I feel like we did some sort of like kind of like a three-way fight.
A menage a punch.
You want to come at me about some pointy ears? Have you ever seen your reflection?
Oh my God, I'm a freak.
Stop it! Stop! You both have super weird ears. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I think we often are in scenes together where we're, you know, on adventures and so forth, so... But mostly it's kind of, we have fun when we're like all sort of ribbing, you know, each other.
And now that you all are, you know, everyone's quarantined, imagine our recording sessions sort of like this, like are you all on Zoom still getting a chance to interact with each other, just not in real life? Or is it like a solo experience basically?
Yeah. You know, sometimes you get the benefit of hearing what, you know, the others have done. Sometimes they've done that with me where it's like, well, let me play you what Eric and Abby did or something so you can get an understanding of the like if we're all doing if we're all talking at the same time or something, or there's like a rhythmic thing, you know. But it's a solo experience, which again is kind of less ideal.
I'm curious, how much do you all get to ad-lib when you're recording? It sounds like Matt is very much a part of that process. Do you all get to sort of go off the cuff? Eric, I'm just going to assume the answer is yes for you all the time.
Yes. I feel much more comfortable off the cuff. Improvisation is encouraged. Faux show.
Yes, I would say they're open and encouraging of it. Matt, I think, is always trying to like figure out if there's another layer or element or something funnier that can be added while we're recording, you know? So it's fun to play around.
Has there ever been anything you've all done that sort of ad-lib that actually took the story in another direction? Like not just change that scene the way it's animated, but actually the way the episode progressed.
That'd be cool if you just change the plot from within your improvising, like... Bean died. What? Yeah, she died, dude.
Yeah. It's just fun when I watch the final product where it's like, oh, I love that they let us go on there for longer. Like, I think it makes the friendship feel more authentic, too, because that's what friends do.
I was kind of nervous when we started recording, like, the three of us together. I was like, oh, I can't fuck up. Like, Abby and Nat are here. I have to, like... be good at this. I was like shy around you guys when I started recording with you guys.
Are you kidding? They're like the best improvisers.
I'm glad you felt that way, both of you. That was sort of my intent, was to kind of come in.
Intimidate.
Yeah, kind of intimidate. I felt like.
Be the alpha.
Yeah, just kind of assert myself a little bit, kind of be the guy, the alpha guy.
Yeah, he's psychotic. He's psychotic.
Yeah.
So you all have like a ton of experience with live action comedy, both on stage, stand up and TV, film, like all the different sort of iterations. But then you have comedy for animation. What challenges does that present?
It's just a different medium. It's a different technique. You can really ham it up when it's just your voice. In fact, you can go to the moon. But when you're on camera and there's a camera this close to your face, you get to like internalize your emotions a lot more. So for me, voiceover is more fun and less stressful.
I guess I rely on certain things with my facial expressions so much in live action that I have to shift to be like, I can't use any of those things. So before this, I think like all three of us were most known for stuff where we're like doing all the things. Mm-hmm. And this is like not a challenge, but like an awesome thing about this is like I get to come in, do this part, and then it's really good.
You don't gotta edit.
Yeah,
you don't
it's
have
pretty
to
awesome.
Do rewrites. You're not in casting sessions. You just come in and you go, bleh, 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 bleh. Like, see you in 5 weeks.
Yeah, and then
later. We are on easy street going all the way to the bank, baby. Cha-ching.
I hope they keep all this. This is great.
This is not good for us to send to Netflix. They're like, they do not take this seriously.
I'm curious, can you all do each other's character voices?
Yeah, that's easy. Hey, I'm Bean. What's up, y'all? Just beaning around. Hey, yeah, I'm Alpha. I'm the great Cornholio.
It's uncanny how well he does that.
Yeah, he's always trying to get us fired by doing us.
He's going
to
get me fired.
Boom. They don't even need you guys anymore.
Is no one going to try their hand at Lucy?
I would do Eric is like, Bean. Like it's low. And Alpha's like, Bean, I just want to, let me in.
It turns out I am a lot like my character. Abby, Eric, let me in. I want to hang out.
Beautiful.
He's making fun of my dreams. That's what friends do.
That's all for this episode of Behind the Scenes. Next week, we're talking to the people behind Castlevania. We get a crash course in how Castlevania went from a video game to an anime-influenced series, and how lighting gives the show its gritty, grounded look.
I don't know that it's all that different from adapting just about anything else. You have a story to tell, and you have the characters that you want to have in that story, and you kind of build it around that.
There's a lot of pitfalls that people want to fall into to kind of beat the audience over the head that this is a video game. Remember how this is a video game? And you just don't do that.
And since then, like, that moment has sparked so many, like, fanfics. So in a way that lighting can enhance moments and change their flavor, I think that was one that gave me particular pleasure.
Behind the Scenes Animation is a Netflix and Pineapple Street Studios production. I'm your host, Brandon Jenkins. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Thanks for listening.